Hello, and welcome to the Mackenzie River Wisdom Project, in conjunction with the Mackenzie History Highway. We like to call the Mackenzie River Highway our 60 miles of Main Street. It runs from Cedar Flat up to Mackenzie Bridge and beyond. A person only needs to spend an hour here to find that this place is filled with some of the most unique, astonishing, and interesting scenery on the planet. But if a person were to spend time getting to know the people who lived on the Mackenzie River, they'd find that the community is filled with people who are just as unique, astonishing, and interesting. There are 9 unincorporated towns on the Mackenzie River, and most of them grew from being stops for the stagecoach headed east over the pass from Eugene, or the other way around. We'll use the word town when describing these places, but most are just a concentration of residential living areas that range from million-dollar homes to single-wide trailers. While all the towns together form an economy they all depend on, each one has its own personality. And much of that personality depends on whether the town is downriver, midriver, or upriver. The purpose of the Mackenzie Wisdom Project is to record the unique voices, highlight the incredible experiences, and memorialize the history of the people who live or have lived on the Mackenzie River. Some of these people were born and raised on the river. And some belong to families that have been here for generations, while others are transplants who have become community leaders and are actively shaping the Valley's future. This is the Mackenzie River Wisdom Project, in accordance with the Mackenzie History Highway. This is the Mackenzie River Valley Wisdom Project, and my name is Sean Davis. I grew up on the Mackenzie River. We lived in many different places, from Nimrod to Rainbow to Mackenzie Bridge. But after high school, I enlisted into the Army for 12 years. And after the Army, I taught college and wrote books in Portland for about 20 years. And now I live with my wife, Kelly, and my daughter, Jackie, on North Bank Road in Mackenzie Bridge. Today, I'm interviewing James Goodpasture in Vida. The clouds have parted and it stopped snowing long enough to have a beautiful January Sunday morning. Driving downriver, you can't help but see all the hazelnut trees along the highway. I found that the Goodpasture family planted most, if not all, of these trees. So, to get to Jim's house, you need to cross Goodpasture Bridge and then turn onto Goodpasture Road. I asked him on the phone while setting up the interview how it felt to live on a road named after his family, and he just humbly laughed about it. In early 1852, Alexander Goodpasture and his wife Elizabeth Moss Goodpasture started in Illinois with 6 yoke of oxen and 23 other wagons. They arrived in Oregon City with only 1 ox and 1 cow hitched to their wagon. 5 people died of cholera on the trek, including Elizabeth's brother Daniel Moss. Alexander and Elizabeth claimed some land and lived there for 10 years. But then tragedy struck for the Goodpasture family. Alexander died in 1962 of a common nosebleed. Elizabeth remarried, and Alexander's son Thurston grew up to drive cattle, raise livestock, and buy more land. Thurston's son Benjamin Franklin Goodpasture did the same, but he branched out into these other ventures as well, ventures like selling these newfangled things called automobiles. Benjamin Franklin Goodpasture was Jim's grandfather. And I asked Jim why he believed his grandfather was such a big part of the community, and why did he have a bridge and a road named after him?
Well, he retired here to this place. Mm-hmm. And I think he was a businessman in town and a realtor in Portland and so on. And when he was a young man, he was a farmer. Uh-huh. You know where South Willamette is? That was where he farmed out there. He raised cattle out there when he was 16 and drove them over to Mapleton and shipped them out on Tidewater.
Jim invited me, my wife, and my daughter into his house to speak to him while he was preparing meatloaf for a date later that night. I tried to ask him questions between his chopping of the onions, and he told me that the reason his grandfather became so successful was because he vertically integrated, meaning that not only did he run cattle, but he started butchering and selling the meat himself. He had a market, a car dealership, and sold tractors.
So, right where the Holt Center parking lot garage is right now.
His grandfather was a man of all trades, and on top of everything else, he also was a part owner of a baseball team. He helped found the Elks Lodge in Eugene. He was a member of the Eugene Chamber of Commerce, and he did one term on the Eugene City Council. all while being a big part of his local Methodist church. Jim's dad helped around the farm. He went to school in Vida, and then when he was old enough, he went to the University of Oregon, but eventually came back to run the farm. He built a house himself on the land, and then he started building cabinets and furniture in his spare time. But eventually, the responsibility to take care of the land and run the farm fell on his shoulders. And this is very similar to Jim's story.
I graduated from high school in 1961 and then went away to school.
Where?
I lived in Monmouth for a while. Thought I wanted to be a teacher.
I was a teacher.
Then I decided I didn't want to do that because I liked to drink too much beer and I couldn't spell.
But once you spend any time with a man, you'll see in minutes how intelligent, hardworking, and incredible he is. He went to college in Portland State University, and he modifies or fabricates many of the tools or equipment he needs to be a successful farmer. Many times he mentioned what he did to the farm after he came back. And I asked him, where did he go to come back from and why? He met his ex-wife in Portland, and they lived in Ashland for 12 years. He worked for a company that had him moving all over the state and up through the ranks as well. But it got to the point where he'd have to move away from Oregon. And not only that, but his family's property and farm on the Mackenzie River were being sold off piece by piece. This was in the early 70s.
You know, basically what I wanted to do was stop the sale of the property.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was hard work. And we had 100-plus acres of hazelnuts, and some of the land was sold off. Lee Shore Drive was sold off, you know, and that was developed. And then there was some other property that was sold off that people put houses on. And then we sold, you know, they sold 60-some acres, which is my neighbor right up here. So when I came to the farm, there was only 60 acres of hazelnuts. So we raised nursery stock and sold nursery stock, and what we didn't sell, we planted.
How many acres do you have today?
130.
I asked Jim, how many people does it take to farm 130 acres? Especially the good years when 1 million pounds of hazelnuts could be harvested. He held up a calloused hand with only 2 fingers sticking up. He and his wife worked the farm themselves for over 20 years. They had some help at times, their son and others, but it was mostly them alone for decades. Today, Jim is single and he lives with his daughter, her husband, and his granddaughter. They all live in a beautiful house he designed and built with his own 2 hands. The giant windows overlook where Indian Creek feeds into the Mackenzie. I asked him how the river had changed since he was a child.
There used to be a wide spot in the road over there and a power plant on Indian Creek. And 126 was gravel. And there was a suspension walking bridge just up from my house. And the ferry landing was right down there.
At this point, Jim walks down the hall towards the door we came in, and I think the interview may be over. I'll go home and think of a few follow-up questions. But then he comes back with something specifically to show Jackie, my daughter.
This is my old tackle box.
Oh, that is really cool.
Every space of this box is filled with hand-tied flies. Jim showed us the deer hide, the chicken feathers, the yarn, and all the other material he uses to tie his flies. He showed us all the different paintings and photographs people have sent them over the years of the bridge that bears his name. And he takes us on a tour of the house that he had built. And this tour ends in the living room, and Jim looks out the window and tells me when he looks at the river and I look at the river, we see different things. He was a guide for over 30 years. I know that river and this land is a deep part of him, and I can relate to that in some ways. We both came back to live on the river after half a lifetime doing other things. I get it. His struggle was to save his family's land. At certain times, that meant saving it from some of his family. But today, he's lived through the same boom and bust everyone else on the river has lived through, including being $350,000 in debt. But he worked it out.
At least the farm, you know, is now is free and clear and able to pass it on to the next generation.
So after an hour of talking, we decide to go outside, and Jim shows us through many of his barns. I mean, there's a lot of barns all over this place. Jackie gets to jump up into one of the 12 tractors that we've seen, and Jim shows her how to start it up. And then He takes us around the farm and he shows us the different pieces of equipment that he modified to better work with the hazelnuts. And they explain why that he changed them and what they do. Jackie reaches down and picks up a hazelnut from the base of a tree and she hands it to me. And I take it. And I look at it. Then I put it in my pocket to keep a small piece of our river's history. Well, thank you for listening. This was the Mackenzie River Wisdom Project. It was created by Tim Lowey of T. Lowey Consulting. This episode was written and produced by Sean and Kelly Davis of the Juniper Pine Project. The History Highway Project was made possible by the Mackenzie Community Development Corporation and through a grant from the Willamette Valley Visitors Association. The theme song is called Velvet by Carter Vale. Thanks again for listening, and come and visit the Mackenzie River Valley.